Good morning, I'm George. I'm a member of West Kirby United Reformed Church. We're currently looking at a sermon series about our identity in Christ. And this morning, we're going to focus on the fact that we're safe from the evil one. Now, it's been said that our three main spiritual enemies as we go through life are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the first two things are fairly self-explanatory, aren't they? The world is all those things that distract us and help us to lose our spiritual focus, and things like money, possessions, status, and so on. The flesh is when we give in to our own human weaknesses. That can be when we give in to temptation in any area where we're weak. That might be some sort of an addiction. It could be just anger. It could be having an affair, just giving in to our human weaknesses. So the world and the flesh are fairly self-explanatory, but the devil is a different thing, isn't it? The devil represents being led astray by the enemy, by the evil one. And I know a lot of people struggle a bit with the concept of the devil. And I wonder whether that in part is to do with the popular image that we have of the devil is, you know, he's red and he's got horns and a tail and a pitchfork. And it's quite hard to take something like that seriously, isn't it? But that ludicrous image of the devil is a medieval construct. It comes from the medieval period, largely influenced by art of the time. What we need to understand, I think, belief in the evil one for us as Christians comes directly out of the mouth of Jesus. The Bible never describes what the devil looks like, but Jesus talks about the evil one. And so our understanding of the evil one should start, I believe, with what Jesus has to say. And I'm going to give three examples of Jesus himself talking about this. For this morning, the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer that we all know and love and pray regularly, it includes the lines, doesn't it? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this is Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, what to pray, what are the things we need to be praying about from Jesus' perspective, and it includes deliver us from the evil one. In John's Gospel, in chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus, who is praying to his Father about his followers, says this: "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." And the third and the last example I'm going to use this morning, there are many more, but the last one I'm going to use this morning is again from John's Gospel. It's from chapter 8, verse 44. And Jesus here is addressing a crowd, and particularly at this point, addressing people who don't accept him. And he says this: "You," that's those who don't accept him, "you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." This is Jesus himself telling us just how intertwined the enemy is with lies. I'm just going to read the second part of that passage again. "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." Do you get the point? Jesus is saying the enemy, the evil one, is a liar and the father of lies. It's in his DNA. That's what he is. Do you ever feel you're not good enough? I know I do. Sometimes I think, what sort of a Christian am I when I've not done something I should have done, or I have done something I shouldn't have done? What sort of a Christian am I? Do Do you feel bad sometimes about yourself? Do you sometimes think you're stuck in a destructive pattern of behaviour? You've got some bad habits that you just don't seem to be able to shake off, no matter how hard you try. Do you feel you've made some bad choices in your life and you're stuck with them? You know, if you feel bad about any of those things, if you feel stuck, if you feel you can't change, if you feel so bad about yourself that there's no way forward, you're exactly where the enemy wants you. Because all of those things are lies. And if you stay in that place, you're exactly where he wants you. And my encouragement this morning is to combat these lies with truth and to not stay in the place we're at now. And I know that's not easy for some people. Some people this morning will be in a place where they're not at all good. There might be all sorts of things they're struggling with. So it's not easy. But when we feel like that, if we don't try to move forward, we stay where we are. And staying where we are is not a good place. And God wants us to move forward. The enemy wants us to stay where we are. Christian author Lisa Beveray says this: I believe that the attacks on your life have much more to do with who you might be in the future than who you have been in the past. Failure in the past should never prevent us from achieving something positive in the future. That only happens when we allow ourselves to be stuck in that bad place, when we believe the lies. Do you think you're not good enough? Well, it's a lie. Do you think you can't change? It's a lie. Do you think you can't fix bad decisions? It's a lie. Now, the fact that we mess up isn't a lie. We all mess up. The lie is that you can't be forgiven. You can't move on. You can't do great things in the future for God. That is the lie. The enemy wants you to feel bad and feel like a useless Christian. So make sure you know the truth. The truth that God forgives what we've done and he sees what we can be. He doesn't just look at what we are now, what we have been. He sees what we can be. And he doesn't make us feel bad about our failures. Yes, he wants us to acknowledge our failures, but he then wants us to move forward with him. He'll help us to move forward. Feeling stuck and useless comes from the enemy, and we need to recognize that so that we can deal with it. How do we deal with it? We deal with lies by proclaiming truth. We deal with darkness by bringing in light. We've already seen scripture tells us that Jesus, in praying to his Father, asked him to protect his followers. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we read that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. In other words, the Holy Spirit within us is greater than the evil one. We need to know that. We need to believe that he that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. The Apostle Paul gives us some good advice too about how to deal with the enemy. In his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, I'm going to read from verses 12 to 17. He gives us a lovely image of putting on armour to try to deal with the enemy. He says this: For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul gives us a visual image of how to deal with the enemy. And there's a whole series of sermons just from that one passage. I'm just going to touch very lightly on a couple of them to help us in particular this morning. The first thing is to see the belt of truth. A Roman soldier put a belt on when he was ready for duty. He took it off at the end of his shift. So taking the belt off means I'm at rest, I'm relaxing, and putting the belt on means I'm ready for action. And to combat lies, we need truth. Put on that belt of truth. Go to the scriptures. Read what Jesus says. Read how much God loves us. And combat the lies with the truth. But even more important, I love the picture of the helmet of salvation. The helmet goes on the head. The helmet protects the head. And that's where it all happens, isn't it? That's where the lies go in. That's where we have our internal dialogues that either tear ourselves down, make us feel bad, or build ourselves up and make us feel better. Put that helmet on every day. The helmet of salvation. What does that mean? It means knowing that we have eternal life through Jesus' death on the cross. And knowing that, knowing we have that salvation, knowing we have that eternal life and the forgiveness that goes with it, should give us the confidence to deal with the lies of the enemy. Put that helmet on every day, the helmet of salvation, to protect the mind, from the lies of the evil one. When you feel a failure, know the truth. Not the lie. Know the truth that God forgives and sets free. When you feel stuck in a bad habit, know the truth that you can change, that God wants to help you to change. He doesn't condemn you. He loves you and wants you to change and will help you to change. And if you've made bad decisions in your life, know the truth. You don't have to look backwards in despair. With God, you can look forward with hope. Just know the truth. The truth that God is a God of forgiveness, mercy, and love. If we think we've made a mess of things, he doesn't condemn us. So don't believe the lies of the enemy that say that he does condemn us. He doesn't. He loves us and forgives us. He wants us to change and he wants us to grow. But he wants us to do that with him, having asked for his forgiveness for the messes that we do inevitably make. You know, we start where we are. That's the lovely truth. Wherever we are, whatever messes we've made, he starts where we are. And then together, he helps us to grow and to move forward. Believe the truth, not the lie. The truth that together with God, we're safe from the evil one. Because the one that is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the truth that we find in your word. The truth that we find in our experience when we try to go forward with you, Lord, when we sense you with us in our difficulties. Give us the confidence, Lord, to ignore the lies of the enemy. Help us to move closer to you, knowing that together with you, we can grow, we can change, and we can do great things for you. Thank you that you see what we can be, not just what we are. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.